Good morning, church family. Welcome back to the home home. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to grab it. Turn with us to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to use that to kick off this series. I want to ask you a question. Could it be that God could use crisis to reset our lives to a direction that is better for us and more glorifying to Him? A few years ago, I went through a few-month period where I had an emotional crisis. And as I share a little bit, I want to ask, is any of this something you can relate to right now? I was working at a camp. I'd been there for 17 years, a camp called Pine Cove. And I loved Pine Cove, and it had been a place that I had so life-giving to me. But for a few-month period, all of a sudden I show up and I felt like a shell. I felt like I was walking around almost observing myself from the outside with no motivation coming from the inside. I felt like there was nothing I could fully focus on. But it wasn't just work for me, it was relationships for me. In my relationships at work, but also my friendships, I found myself retreating. I didn't want to socialize. I prided myself in being someone who had liked having fun and would laugh a lot, try to entertain, but all of a sudden I didn't want to do that. I would retreat from my own friends. And even Rebecca, my lovely wife, experienced it as I became more critical of her and critical of myself. Even physically for me, stuff started manifesting itself. Like I all of a sudden I had this dry skin problem show up. And then I was struggling to sleep that night. I would wake up early in the morning and struggling to sleep. And again, finding myself not able to remember basic things. I was faced with this emotional crisis. And it came to a head. I remember one Sunday I was asked to come pray at this little church. I was at First Baptist Church in Columbus, Texas. I was a deacon. I wasn't a church staffer at that point. I was just a deacon in this church. I asked to pray, and I was up front trying to pray. And it was not just I cried. It was like there was this internal moaning. It was such a deep, groaning cry as I was trying to pray. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? And I was having conversations at that point in time with my boss. Hey, you're seeing our little puppy jump up on us right now, Aggie. Had conversations with my boss at that point in time who was sharing with me that he thought God was redirecting my life to through that season. He was resetting me. He was refocusing me. His dad was a pastor, and he said he had seen me in the church, serving the church, that maybe God was redirecting me. And I initially took that as, I mean, you're telling me to find another job, right? He's my boss. And he to this day told me that's not what he was trying to say. But it was this gut-wrenching, but it was a redirection. It was a resetting of my life. Here's what we think God could be doing through this season. Y'all know what this is in my hands? You have to be really old to know what this is right here. This is a original Nintendo, right? On this Nintendo, right, there's a power button. You can turn the power off and on. And in a tragic way, we're seeing the power go down on many people's lives around the world right now. But most people are not losing their life. Many others are actually losing their job. But is that job loss really their power is going out? Or is God going to use that as an opportunity to reset their life? For many, even the students right now, right? Many high school seniors not getting to see their senior year the way they thought they were going to see their year. The frustration of not being able to hang out with our friends. The reality that many of us are now homeschooling four kids at home, right? What is God doing in this? Could it be that God is giving us an opportunity to push the reset button of our lives? For the next few weeks, we want to walk with you through a series that's built around here, this verse in Ephesians chapter 5. Let me read it to you. This is just a few verses before where the verse that drove our series on one another this last fall, that we're to be filled with the Spirit so that we'd submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is what we read in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 15. Paul writes, "Look carefully then how you walk." That's how you live. Be very intentional about how you live. Now, this reset season that are life-changing right now. The crisis is giving us an opportunity to be real intentional. How are we living? He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 16, making the best use of the time. Your translation may say they're redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil, he says. We're to make the best use of the time. Why? Because the days are evil. We're to redeem the time. Could it be that we in this season could make the best use of the time, redeem the time, even though it feels like the days, what's happening, crisis in our culture, evil. How do we do that? Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So here's what we're going to do the next few weeks. We're going to ask God, what is your will for our lives? How do you want us to walk? How do you want us to live? What does that look like for us? And what we're going to do today, the first thing we're going to see today, is just like on the reset button, I think that one of the things God tells us to do with our time that we don't do well, when you push reset, the first thing that happens is actually the power goes down. And the culture is in many ways forcing us right now to slow down, right? Like we're stuck in our houses, but are we using that to really rest the way that God intends us to rest, to really power down the way the Bible invites us to power down? So turn with me right now to Exodus chapter 20. You're like, Exodus? Yes, Exodus chapter 20. We're going to go to the Ten Commandments. We're going to see what God tells His people about powering down, because in order to do what God calls us to do, we got to stop doing what we're currently doing. In order to really reset our lives, we've got to turn off the game for a little bit so that we can turn it on again the direction that God would intend us to go. You with me so far? All right, here we go. This is God's words to the people of Israel. A little context here. That God had led His people into Egypt where they had worked in slavery for 400 years. Talk about crisis. Then He shows up and He leads them out of slavery to the Red Sea. Another crisis, parts of the Red Sea. Then they're in the desert where they don't have any food. Talk about crisis again. And He leads them to Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, God speaks and He gives them 10 commandments. The first four commandments are all about them and their relationship with God. The last six are about them and their relationship with other people. The fourth commandment is a commandment, relationship with God, to rest, to power down, to shut off. Watch the command here in chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 8. Here we go. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You, your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord has made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd use this time. As we, so many of us have been reading through this Bible reading plan, we've seen this command to rest show up over and over and over again in the books of Exodus and Leviticus, and we're going to see it again in Deuteronomy as we continue in this Bible reading right now. That this command to rest is something that You are very clear was Your will for Your people to power down. And God, I pray right now in this season that we'd redeem the time, that we would reset, that You'd help us learn how to rest. I ask that You pray for me, pray that God would use my words, that I would be clear, that He would empower them through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you're taking notes, I'm titling this, Resetting a Rhythm of Rest. Resetting a Rhythm of Rest. And the first thing that we're going to tell you, I think God's going to tell His people to do, is not actually to stop working. The first thing He's going to do, if you want to really rest the way that God commands us to rest, is actually to remember something. So watch this. Watch what He says in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now wait a second. This is the first time the people are getting the Ten Commandments. What do you mean, God, remember the Sabbath day? How can they remember a Sabbath? Well, the first thing they can remember is the creation. If you look at verse 11, he says, "For," why do we celebrate Sabbath? "For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." One of the reasons that our culture cannot rest is in the United States of America, so many Christians think that if they're going to be successful, they need to be a self-made man or a self-made woman. You know what? You did not make yourself. God made you, and then He rested. And God commands the people to remember that. Another thing they can remember, you can go read this later if you want to, but in chapter 16 of Exodus, He's leading them then through the desert to Mount Sinai, and they need food. And God provides food for them. And then God provides, you know what they start doing? They start trying to provide for themselves. They try to gather more than they need. And then that food rots. The next day they wake up and the food's all rotted. But then on the sixth day, He says, you know what? I want you to rest the next day, so gather 2 days worth today, and tomorrow it will not rot. And it happened. And He called that day the Sabbath day. So He says, I want you to remember the Creator. I want you to remember the Provider in your own life. Maybe you're a single mom. You've got several jobs and you're working all the time. You think there's no way that I could ever rest because I've got to provide for my family. Can I tell you that God will provide everything you need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus? You need to trust Him. One of the big steps into true soul, biblical, Christian rest is remembering that God provides. You need to remember God. You remember He's the provider of your life, not the creator, the provider, and also the rescuer. When Moses gives the second telling of the Exodus giving of the Ten Commandments, he tells in Deuteronomy chapter 5 the Sabbath command again, but instead of pointing them back to the creation, he points them back to God rescuing His people out of slavery in Egypt. He says, you need to remember that God stepped into your life and based on nothing you did, He rescued you. So stop trying to rescue yourself. Stop working harder so that you can save yourself. God is the one who saves you. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2 that the Sabbath in the Old Testament is now for us a shadow pointing us to the true rescuer that is Jesus. For us as Christians, if you want to truly rest, true rest starts in remembering that you have a creator, it wasn't you. You have a provider, it wasn't you. You have a rescuer, it wasn't you. It was Jesus. True rest isn't found in what you do. True rest is found in what God has done for you. You with me so far? If you're taking notes, resetting a rhythm of rest, first point, remember our Creator, Provider, and Rescuer. Again, I'll say it. Resetting a rhythm of rest. Remember our Creator, Provider, and Rescuer. You with me so far? All right, here we go. Second point. We need to work diligently. You need to remember your Rescuer, your Provider, your Creator, Provider, Rescuer. You also need to work diligently. Notice before He tells people to rest, what He says in verse 9. 6 days you shall labor, which is hard work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Now, this is not the main command, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but some of our culture right now is stuck in this entitled mentality of I really shouldn't have to work at all. The God has gifted His people with a purpose in life, and we'll talk more about that next week. Leroy's going to speak into the giftings He's given you to use for the glory of God, that God has created you in Christ Jesus for good works that He has prepared beforehand in advance for you to walk in. So we, as we reset, we remember, but you need to know if you want to rest, you need to work your tails off. In fact, part of resting, if you know someone who's a Jew and truly Sabbaths, part of resting is actually planning ahead for the Sabbath day and going and buying food and working harder and getting prepped for what God will provide for. And then you get yourself ready to rest. You do all your work. Interesting parallel to this I was reading this week. If you want to sleep well, the experts will tell you you need to exercise hard. And in a similar way, if you want to rest the way that God intends, you need to remember your Creator, Provider, Rescuer. You need to work diligently. And then finally here, third point, you need to rest intentionally. Now I'm going to give you some practical steps to take in your life around this. But I want to just dig into what the Word of God actually says here around Sabbath. Okay, so you with me so far? Yes, here we go. Watch what he says in verse 10. But the seventh day, which this is an Old Testament command, it's very clear in the New Testament that this is not specifically something Christians exercise. The seventh day was a Saturday. Christians changed their day of worship to Sunday, which this was mind-boggling for me. I never saw this until I was studying for this talk this week, that Sunday, when the people of Israel start celebrating because it was the resurrection, right? Easter, which we celebrated last week, was the first day of the week. So they start Sunday, they call it the Lord's Day, and they start worshiping on Sunday. For the first few hundred years of the church, Sunday was actually a work day. It was a work day for the people. But they on Sunday, they start worshiping. So it's not this holding to the seventh day. It's this Old Testament canon, the New Testament. Paul even talks about it at one point in the New Testament. If you're around someone who is observing Sabbath, go ahead and observe Sabbath. If you're not observing Sabbath, when you're in a home that's not, you know what, that's even a more mature home, he calls it, you don't need to observe Sabbath. So it's not like this is a command for us, but there's a principle here that we want to draw from in the New Testament that's a positive. But he says on the seventh day, it doesn't have to be Saturday. For many of you, it needs to be Saturday. On the seventh day is a Sabbath, divine rest. It's a Greek word, sabbaton, meaning divine rest, where we take that word into the Old Testament Hebrew to get our word Sabbath, to the Lord. Now I want you to notice the direction of the rest. He says, on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. If you want to truly rest, there's a direction, there's a focus in your rest. He says you find rest to the Lord. Jesus in the New Testament says it this way. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he says. Literally, that it's I will rest you, Jesus says. You know what that means? That means true soul rest. You need to sleep. Sleep is important, but true soul rest isn't found only in bed. True soul rest is found when we rest to the Lord. We come to Jesus. We come to the Lord and we find rest. No, to the Lord. That's what he says, the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work. What does he mean? Well, the people of Israel got real legalistic about this. They made a lot of additional commands that Jesus, even himself in the New Testament, he's like, those don't apply to me right now. It's not what we need to do. I mean, one of their commands was, if you were to throw something up in the air and you catch it with the same hand, then that's not disobeying the Sabbath. If you throw it in the air and you catch it with a different hand, that's work, and you're disobeying the Sabbath. I mean, they got crazy legalistic about it, right? This, what does it mean to not do any work? I love the way the New Living Translation puts it in a lot of different places around the Sabbath, not specifically here, but a lot of different places it puts it this way, no ordinary work. Do no ordinary work. What is it for you that normal life causes you to have to do to make a living, right? What is your ordinary work? He's inviting you to take time to not do that, to turn off your email, to ask maybe your spouse to help you with the kids and with the cooking for a while, to ask your spouse to help you so that you can find rest away from, or if you're a single, right, maybe asking a friend or a family member, because singles so often, right, get told, man, you got all this time, which if you look at what's going on in a single's life, they're having to do everything. Where in a family where you have someone else, often the load is shared. So how do no ordinary work is what he says. Not any in the ESV work. You or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, your livestock or the sojourner that's within your gaze. Notice it's not just for us. He applies it to everyone else that's in the home. To figure out a way that you're not just prompting rest for you, but that you're prompting rest for people in your families. I've heard many people talking about taking rest from digital devices and helping kids get off. What does this look like for us. Well, Jesus said it would be a blessing if we would do it. Jesus said if we would apply this in our life, if we would reset our life and we'd Sabbath. He says at one point, he said, you know, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This was meant to be a gift for you. In the book of Isaiah chapter 56, we read that everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds it fast in my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. It's a blessing for us if we do it. And before I give you again specific applications, y'all know that studies tell us that if you rest, you actually perform at a higher level. I mean, it goes all the way back. I mean, one of the studies I saw this week was World War II. There was that people were working 7 days a week, and they decided, well, let's put in a one-day rest day. And when they put in the one-day rest day for those people, they actually produced more when they were off for a full day. If you're a farmer, you know that if you're farming the same soil every year, you actually get less crops than if every seventh year you take a break and you let the soil rest. This is important, but we don't do it. I mean, if you want to make more money in our culture right now, you know what you need to do? If you want to make more money in our culture, create something that makes people think they can work harder and do more. Now, in our life group this week, we were talking about this very subject, and someone said, I feel like I'm caught on this hamster wheel, and I'm just trying to work harder to do what? Someone else said, I feel like I'm juggling something and I'm trying to add more just so I can juggle more. What's the point in trying to add more to juggle more? But that's what we're in. That's where we're caught. What does it look like for us to actually stop and find biblical rest? Here's a few ideas to help reset a rhythm of rest. And I want to invite you right now in this COVID season, don't wait till the end of the COVID season. In this COVID season, to start right now, push the reset button now. God is providing this unique crisis moment now for you to start putting this in the rhythm of your life. Okay, so here we go. First thing I want to invite you to do is the basic thing that I think you would see in this, to schedule a day a week to intentionally rest and remember. To schedule intentional day. For me, that's Friday sunup to Saturday sunup. I try to hold that time. Sometimes I miss it. But during that time, I try to spend time with my family, spend time outside doing the yard. That's not ordinary work. Spend time around the house. But I try not to be putting time into thinking about leadership for the church moving forward or spending time prepping for my sermon the next day. But on that day and every day, it's super important, second thing I'll say, to begin that day and each day with the prayer, worship, and the Word. We need to begin those days, and we need to begin each day with remembering what God has done for us. Remembering that we have a Creator, we're not self-made men. Remembering that we have a Provider, that what we're doing today is not going to go above and beyond God's provision for us. That we remember that we have a Savior, that what we do today is not going to earn our way into heaven or save us, right? We need to be spending time. Jesus, it tells us in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, would rise up. He rose up very early in the morning while it was still dark, departed, went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. A few weeks ago, I was reminded in this season, I was experiencing some of those similar emotions that I felt 9 years ago in that emotional crisis season. I was reminded through an article in the Dallas Morning News to stop and go out and enjoy nature. And I've started to do that in my quiet times again, and it fills me. It fills me. As I was talking in our life group, and by the way, if you don't have a life group, we need each other now more now than ever. Send a text, first guest. Even if you're not a guest, send it to first guest and we'll help you find a group. First guest to 50700. We want to help you find a group. It's just these small groups that help us do life together. We're talking about this in the life group. And in the life group, someone said this, find the thing that stirs your affection for Jesus and do that. What would it look like for you on a day of rest to stir your affections for Jesus and to figure out how to do that on the day of rest and each morning when you wake up to start your day that way? So ideas. Next idea, I want to throw it out, to plan ahead. Plan ahead so that you can rest. What does that look like for you to plan ahead. And maybe it means you need to say no to some extracurricular involvement for the kids. Maybe for you, it means you need to say no to setting up that business meeting with that key partner. Maybe for you, that means you need to ask your spouse, hey, can you take care of these people for this time so that I can head over to Starbucks and get a breather? What does it look like for you to plan ahead so that you can truly rest? Next, just specific, practical, find one of these. I'm just giving you like four here. Melissa, by the way, Dr. Melissa Ewing is putting online for us and has already today. You can go and see a whole long list of different ideas of ways that you can engage Sabbath rest. So these are just a few of them, just a few of them. Finally, I'll say create margin in your schedule. I do think that as we look at the way that God commanded the people of Israel, that there's a beauty in the weekly calendaring. I want to invite you and challenge you to calendar weekly so you can find that day of rest. But when you calendar weekly, to also calendar time where you have margin. Why? So that you can be interruptible. That you can read. I heard a story just recently about someone who was reading a Facebook post and could tell through that Facebook post that their friend was hurting, and they stopped that day. They stopped that day, got in their car, drove to go bless their friend and put something on their doorstep and drive back home. Why? Because they were interruptible. We see in the life of Jesus, which Jesus, I think, is a beautiful example to us on how we can function in this culture. Jesus was very busy, but he was never in a hurry. He was always interruptible. Is your life interruptible? Someone in our life group, when we were talking about this, said, am I just scheduling my way to controlling my life? Or am I providing opportunity for God to interrupt my schedule so that I can do more and more things to serve those around me for God's glory? So schedule a day a week to intentionally rest and remember. Do that now, even in COVID. Even when you don't think Tuesday and Wednesday look any different from each other, what does it look like for you to say, right now, we're going to schedule time? Maybe you need to sit down with your family and as a family so you can help, like he commands the house to do this. When does it work? Maybe it doesn't work for both spouses the same. I don't know. When does it work for you to get scheduled time? Begin that day and each day with the prayer and worship and the word. Plan ahead so that you can rest and create margin in your schedule. All right, I'm going to close now. I'm going to close now with a little illustration. This story was given to me. I've been told it comes from a book. I've never read the book. It was just something told to me that stuck in my mind. It's a story of a businessman from the United States of America who's a self-made man, right? Working hard, super busy, and he decides to take vacation and go to the beach in Mexico. He's walking along the beach in Mexico. He comes along a man with a boat who's a fisherman. And the fisherman said, hey, would you like me to take you to fish? The businessman says, yes. Goes out with the man, catches a bunch of fish, pays the man some money. And as he's doing that, he thinks, wow, this man could make a ton of money if he'd go corporate. So he tells this guy who's working on the beach in Mexico, hey, you know what? I could help you. You could get a bunch of boats and some employees, and you could set this up so that it's working in the morning and in the afternoon, and there'd be a lot of customers like me, and you could make more money, you could work harder, and so that one day you could retire on the beach and fish. And then he realized what he was saying. Could it be that your life, the life that God has given you, is actually a life that you've longed to live with the Lord? Could it be that you're living at such a pace right now that you're not stopping to see the beautiful gift that He's extended to you? That you're not Sabbath resting, remembering God? Yes, work hard, but stopping to rest intentionally and enjoy the gifts that God has given you. So as This list comes back up on the screen. I want to ask you right now to pray that God in this season would be resetting a rhythm of rest in your life. So pray with me. We're going to pray through this list. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you help me, that you'd help us to remember our Creator, our Provider, and our Rescuer. Help us remember, God, that you are the one who's created this world, that you created us and then you rested, that we could follow your example, that we'd remember that you are the one who provides, that we would remember that you have rescued us. And we don't have to try to save ourselves, that you've done that, and we'd rest as we remember. Father, we pray that we'd work diligently. What does that look like for you this week? Pray that God would help you to do the work that He's called you to right now. Even if you don't have a job, what is it that working hard looks like for you right now? And then finally, God, as we seek to reset this rhythm of rest, I pray that you'd help us to rest intentionally. Ask God to help you with whatever that specific step was going to be. Pray for His supernatural guidance and His help this week. And now let's continue to sing.